Hello, New York. This is AM 1230 WFAS. I'm Roy G here with Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Bruce, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm doing better than the Washington Redskins fans are going to be doing in 3 hours, I'm afraid, or so. It's gonna be ugly. You know, last week, Roy, we had some of the most incredible matchups of all season long. And we said that on the blog. If you go to BruceHallSports.com right now, you can pull up just my little write-ups on every game as we go through them today. Obviously, all those people that went to the website Wednesday, Thursday for the Denver Jets game. Now, all you Jet fans in New York, let me tell you, if you go to nhbowl.com also, you'll see that there's a little guy by the name of Bruce Hall that's with Bruce Hall Sports that is leading National Handicappers Bowl in units made. I'm just under 4,000, and I got to tell you, I'm feeling pretty good. Now, percentage-wise, I'm still 58 and change, but I did have Denver the other night. I took them plus the 6.5.
Did you have Denver or did you have Tim Tebow?
I had both. I had Tim Tebow and Denver, but I got to tell you, a woman with the Washington Post newspapers wrote an article, a column this week on Tuesday. Her first name is Sally. I forget her second name. She's been around for years. And I basically sent her an article, or I sent her an email, and it was a letter. And I sent that letter out to a lot of different people. And I thanked her. And the reason I thanked her is, you know, the NFL hates Tim Tebow.
They do.
They just hate him. And I'm going to tell you why they hate him. He's successful. He's powerful. He's one of the most powerful people in the NFL right now. If you don't believe it, that game on NFL Network was their third highest rated game ever. And, you know, their first two were huge because they promoted them and spent millions and millions of dollars on it. I don't even know that they spent that much money promoting this game because Tim Tebow was in it. But I got to tell you, even John Fox, who I'm not a big fan of, John Fox was a Bill Parcells defensive coordinator for years. He's a good defensive coach. Don't get me wrong. He's a good defensive coach. But the thing about Fox I don't like is when he first took Kyle Orton out, do you remember that? When he first took Kyle Orton out, what he did was he acted like he really didn't want to put Tebow in. You could tell by his body language. Roy, you remember the press conference.
Well, they were talking about how Brady Quinn was even better than Tim Tebow and how, oh, well, Tim's actually our third string quarterback, so we don't even really want him and as our backup, so blah, 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 blah. Like basically downplaying all these crazy fans who have spent all of their own money to put up billboards wanting Tim Tebow in the game. So the Denver Broncos kind of, they pushed it under the rug as much as possible until.
Well, he's not an NFL quarterback. Well, and see, what is an NFL quarterback?
What does that mean?
Kyle Orton is an NFL quarterback.
Oh. Hey, if I'm not, is Rex Grossman an NFL quarterback?
You know what, Rex Grossman, if I'm not mistaken, and we talked about this earlier, he was ahead of Kyle Orton in Chicago, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And when Grossman went down, Orton stepped in and did a pretty good job. You know, Brady Quinn was drafted in Cleveland, sent out to Denver to be a backup slash possible first-string quarterback. But somebody last year spent a first-round draft choice 2 years ago on Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Well,
that guy is
what are you going to do?
No longer.
Exactly.
There, but.
No, he's not there, but
he's
I got to tell
Louis,
you.
Where they actually have an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and what's their record?
Not very good.
2-7. Listen, this is Bruce Hall.
Roy G.
I'm sitting next to Roy G.
Yes,
we're talking NFL. Anyway, we hit the Denver game. We're excited about it. I personally, if I was the Washington Redskins or some team that needs a quarterback, and there are three or four of them out there that need one, if you could get Tebow, design an offense around the guy. For 5 or 6 years, he's going to be like having a fullback with moves that can throw the ball and then just run the ball 50 times, control the clock, and do what they did to the New York Jets the other night, which is stay close and win the game when they had to.
What I don't understand is why it's okay to build an entire offense around somebody like a Drew Brees and completely neglect the running game with a quarterback like that and just get all kinds of receivers and pass catchers, but it's not okay to draft a whole bunch of running backs, run a basically four running back set in Denver and have pass blocking receivers.
Hey,
I don't understand why one is okay and the other is not okay if you're winning ball games
well,
doing it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. That's the point. It's all about hype. It's all about throwing the football. Look, you can't even throw. You know, if you throw the ball up today, a defensive back can't even put a good hit on somebody. When they put a good hit on him, even if it's with his shoulder, you know, and it's not, you know, helmet to helmet, not in the chest. Half the time, the flag flies anyway, and it's first and 10. And I'm tired of that. You know, the nice thing about John Fox in Denver, and this is one nice thing I'm going to say about him, then we're going to go on to the next game. But the nice thing about him is he was the defensive coordinator for Bill Parcells for many years. And he is old school. Now, listen, when Parcells won that Super Bowl, okay, against the Buffalo Bills in Tampa back in the late 80s, I was there. And I'm going to tell you right now, they ran the football. They hit you in the mouth. And the one thing that the Giants had back then was they had a great defense. They had Lawrence Taylor. They had Carl Banks. They had these guys that were just monsters on defense, and they controlled the football running the ball. I'm happy to see it with Denver. I hope they win the West. That's all I got to say. Let's go to the next game.
All right, the first game we're going to be talking about today that is going to be played today.
Going to be played today, hopefully.
The Atlanta Falcons -6 over the Tennessee Titans. The over-under in this game is 44.
Well, we were talking about that. Both teams are 5-4. Both teams are you know, kind of like borderline contenders. Maybe borderline pretenders, too. Atlanta, you know, I was all over them last week, and they did everything they had to do except win the game. They lost in overtime to New Orleans again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that game took something out of me. Would I have gone for it, you know, fourth and a foot from my own 28-yard line? Oh, yeah.
Would you have?
Yeah, but I would have run a quarterback sneak. I wouldn't have run a lead play that takes 3 seconds to get the running back to the line, or I would have ran just a dive with him. They ran a lead, and it gave the defense time to submarine under the line of scrimmage, make penetration, and he got hit 3 or 4 yards deep, wasn't going to get back the line of scrimmage. I hated that call. I don't think Atlanta's going to be there late. They could end up 10-6 when the season's over. The Tennessee Titans, I got to tell you, Matt Hasselbeck has been a big surprise to me this year. He's always been a good quarterback. Yeah. He's done some really good things in Seattle. You know, he can throw the football. Last week, he even looked like he could run the football. He ran a little bootleg, almost got into the end zone. But this game, I just don't like this game. And every time I've gotten near Tennessee this year, Roy, I've lost.
Yeah.
So I'm staying away from them, and I'm staying away from Atlanta, too, because I swear last week when we went into overtime, I thought for sure that Atlanta was going to win that game. They didn't. This is a great spot for Atlanta today. They're at home again. It's a must win. But you know what? Chris Johnson is starting to look like he's getting in a little bit of shape, and I'm telling you, with Hasselbeck and CJ, anything can happen. You know, Atlanta, what's the line here? They're -6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a lot of points to give up on a team that seems to like to lose close ones. I'm going to pass on this game. Let's go to the next game.
Next up, we have the Miami Dolphins -2 over the Buffalo Bills. The over under here is 44.
You know, this is an interesting game to me. The Dolphins have a swagger. At least that's what we're being told. Now, I've never seen the Dolphins in person. I've never been in their locker room. I've never been to their practices. But evidently, the guys that do cover these guys, the beat reporters, say that for a 2-7 team, they've never seen a happier group. They've won 2 games in a row. Now, granted, one was against the Washington Redskins. So that should count as half of a game. But the thing of it is that these Miami Dolphins have got some really good playmakers on this team.
They're a lot better than their record would indicate.
They've been close in 4 or 5 games. Buffalo is going the wrong direction, Roy, aren't they? I mean, this is the team we all loved early.
They started out like a firecracker, and now they're banged up a little bit. Fitzpatrick got a big deal and hasn't been playing as well since. I don't know if money has anything to do with it.
It does, and he got hurt. London Fletcher's helmet has something to do with it. He got banged in the Redskin game when they won 23-0, and I don't know how he got up off the ground, because if London Fletcher had hit me like that, we'd have already had my funeral. I mean, I would have died, because I've never, and he got up and he finished that game, but the next game, they lost 27-11, scoring late. They were never in the game. The offense looked dysfunctional. He didn't have a good game at all. Also, Stevie Johnson's been hurt.
Yeah, he's been banged up.
You know, and he is really their number one. The big kid that looks like a tight end, but he's not a tight end. He's a good ball player. They're getting hit. He's the kid that caught the pass last week in Dallas and gave it to his girlfriend, who's a cheerleader. And I'm going to tell you right now, that kid's a ball player. But that was the only points they scored in 60 minutes during the game.
Their identity is kind of shaky now. In the beginning, they were throwing the ball. They were spreading it out. Then about halfway through the season, a couple weeks ago, we saw Jackson really start start to light it up.
Right.
And now it's, who are the Buffalo Bills? And I don't – it's confusing to me,
well,
at least.
Miami's a 2.5-point favorite. That tells you something right there. Even Vegas thinks they're not as good as Miami, or they wouldn't be a 2.5-point underdog.
Which is mind-blowing to me. I mean, the Miami Dolphins, since Moore has taken over under center, have gotten better. They've gotten more efficient in the red zone. They've started putting points up. But
Braylon Edwards, too.
I'm not ready to say that the Miami Dolphins are better than the Buffalo Bills. I cannot do that.
You know what? Here's the problem with this game. Buffalo, they haven't shown anything in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And really, that Redskin game wasn't that great either. I mean, that was basically, in my opinion, was the RB getting all those yards.
Well, their defense looked great against Washington Redskins.
Well, whose defense doesn't look great against the Redskins? No, everybody's defense looks good. They're averaging 12 points a game in their last six games. Let's go to the next game. I'm passing on this game. It's too ugly for me.
Next up, we have the Baltimore Ravens -7 against the Cincinnati Bengals. The over-under here is 40.5.
Are you going to this game? Because this is right after our show, and it's only about, I'd say, 16 or 17 miles to that stadium. Oh, you're not. You're going
to
another game.
I'm going to the better of the two games.
Oh.
If by better you mean worse, because I'm going to the Washington Redskins Cowboys game. It's Dallas week, so I gotta go to that game.
Roy,
but
what we'll talk about them. We're gonna do our lead in to the game that's gonna be on WFAS.
That's right.
Immediately following us. It starts at 1:00. The Redskins hopefully will start warming up by 12:00. But Baltimore, you know, here's a team that, you know, sometimes they look like world beaters, and sometimes they look dysfunctional. Who are we going to get this week against the Cincinnati Bengals?
Nobody knows what to think about the Baltimore Ravens. I live in Baltimore, as most of you know, and so I listen to Baltimore radio every single day, all day, every day. And despite my absolute hatred for Vinny Serrato, I still listen, and they don't know what they're going to get. But there is a trend with the Baltimore Ravens that has been going on this season. It's win two, lose one. So we lost last week, and I say we, I mean the Baltimore Ravens. They lost last week, so does that mean that they show up and they beat the Bengals this week? Because apparently they only lose to bad teams. And the Bengals, I'm not ready to say that they're a bad team yet.
Well, the Bengals are not a bad team, and you've got a lot of familiarity here. That's a hard word to say.
It's a big word.
Familiarity. Anyway, you're familiar with the teams. You got a head coach, Marvin Lewis, who interviewed for the head coaching job in Baltimore.
He was in Baltimore.
And didn't get it. He was their defensive coordinator. Yeah. He's got a Super Bowl ring with the Ravens. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he knows what he's doing on the defensive side of the ball. They really get active, Cincinnati does, in the A-gaps. They like to put pressure on a quarterback right up the middle. Flacco is not one of your more athletic, moving his feet quarterbacks. He doesn't get his hips turned.
I think Joe Flacco is the problem with the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, he could be. I mean, you know, they got what they got. They drafted him out of Delaware in the first round, late first round. And Flacco, let me tell you, Flacco is a solid QB.
Like him.
But for two or three games in the middle of the season this year, he struggled.
I think he's poo-poo.
Well, you know what I think, too, is Anquan Boldin, to me, looks hurt because he's not getting separation like he usually does. It looks like you can cover Anquan Boldin with a nickelback.
Although,
if he catches the ball, he's going to drag the guy 20 yards because he's a monster.
Boldin is really the only real offensive threat, wide receiver-wise, that the Baltimore Ravens have. That's why you've seen Rice get a lot of catches. Torrey Smith didn't even start to begin the season. You have to think that Lee Evans was their number. That was their guy there.
Right.
He was their stretch the field guy. Torrey Smith was just kind of the young guy that they drafted. Lee Evans goes down. He's probable for today. He might play today. And then Torrey Smith comes out. spreads the field, gets three touchdowns in his first three catches, and everyone's praising him. He's been very inconsistent since. So
doesn't block much either.
No. So there is Torrey Smith over there. Dixon, who's their tight end, is good, but he's not Todd Heap. He has a lot of drops. So that's when you're seeing a lot of checkdowns to Ray Rice. And he up until last week, he was their number one receiver.
Heap was better going down the middle of the field. Yeah. I like Dixon, though, because I like his hands. We had this argument one time. First game, he must have had six catches in the first half. Let's talk about the other side of the ball, though. Andy Dalton, What a stud. This kid, let me tell you, if he could get the rest of his offense to play like he does every week, I think the Bengals would make the playoffs. I think they're probably a game or two away. I've got Cincinnati going like 9-7, possibly 10-6. They'd almost have to win today to have a chance, because I've got the Steelers going 12-4 for the season, and I've got the Ravens 11-5. Those two teams will be in the playoffs, in my opinion.
No, they'll both go.
Cincinnati's is about a year away. They really do need another power running back besides Cedric Benson, or they need a third down guy that they can throw to. They don't have that guy right now. They don't have the big, good tight end either. They got a decent tight end, but he's not the guy they want. What do you think is going to happen this game, Roy?
Well, the big question mark to me is A.J. Green, because they've been talking about...
He may not even start.
Exactly. They're talking about how he may or may not go. If he goes...
It's his knee.
If he goes, even if he goes, he's not going to be 100%.
Right.
So you can't rely too much on A.J. Green. This is going to have to be the Cedric Benson show, which you're like, Ravens defense, running game, not going to happen. Well, slow down a second, because the middle linebacker, number 52, for the Baltimore Ravens, isn't going today.
Their tight end's Gresham, right? Was he an Okie State guy? He's a pretty good tight end, and they probably will be able to throw the little ball. The thing that's really sad about A.J. Green, he made a great catch last week. Why he decided to try to come down flat-footed in the end zone, I have no idea. But he hyperextended his knee, probably tore a little something. I don't know what the MRI looked like. I never really saw anything. They probably said it was negative. But let me just tell you something. If he doesn't play today, he's got a medial or a lateral collateral strain. And that's not good when you're a wide receiver. I'm going to pass on this game. I was on the Ravens all week long for three or four stars. And the more I look at this game, I get scared of Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Payback is a big deal in this league.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next game.
Next up, we have the Cleveland Browns -1 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The over-under here is 34.
You know, this is Bruce Hall. If you've just tuned in to us, this is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm here with Roy G.
Yes, sir.
And we're going over all the NFL games right now. If you want to follow us, go to my website, brucehallsports.com. You'll go to, you know, click on the blog. You'll have all these games listed, and there'll be a good-sized paragraph talking about just what we're talking about right now, trying to tell you what it is we're looking at. You know, this game, to me, is just what a waste of time.
It's poo-poo.
You know what? The only reason I would watch this game right here for any length of time was if I had a kid playing on either side or somebody that I coached. Because Jacksonville...
They're really bad.
They're not going to score a lot of points, but they've got a really good defense. They did beat the Baltimore Ravens.
They did.
I mean, Cleveland, on the other hand, hasn't beaten anybody.
No.
And they're not going to beat anybody.
And their defense, as young and as good as they want to, if there's anything good about the Cleveland Browns, it's their defense.
Hey, let me ask you a question. How many weeks has Peyton Hillis not played out of nine?
I believe it's
six. Who's their leading rusher?
Peyton Hillis.
How many yards does he have?
He has 211 yards and two touchdowns. And he's their leading rusher.
He's their leading rusher after nine games. Let me get this straight, Roy.
Yeah.
And he has 211
yards.
How bad do you have to suck?
You have to suck a lot
before people make a change. Let's... Pat Shurmur is supposed to be now. Don't get me wrong. I'm not out here calling for Pat Shurmur's job, but there's a lot of people in Cleveland. A lot of people in Cleveland, because I listen to a show every week. Kylie and Booms in Cleveland. I always plug my old friends, but I got to tell you something. It's a fun show to listen to because they hammer the Browns, and there's really not a whole lot to talk good about the Browns with at this point. Colt McCoy, if you look at his numbers, they're okay, but he's got really nobody to throw the ball to. Mario Hardesty is supposed to start. He was their first pick last year. He's not going to make a difference. He's been injured. I see this game being 10-6. I think they could have made the over-under 20 points, and I would have taken the under. The under, by the way, the over-under is 34 points. Roy and I are smiling now because we're taking the under. And the neat thing about that is if you turn on Red Zone on NFL Network and you don't see any highlights of Cleveland and Jacksonville, we're going to be two happy campers.
I actually have Jacksonville in this game. This is actually my number two play of the day.
They're the better team.
They are. It's going to be the Maurice Jones-Drew show. Gabbard is actually playing decent. He's having an okay manage the game kind of season, which is what you want out of your rookie quarterback when you have somebody like MJD in the backfield. So, I mean, I Cleveland's terrible. And I posted a video on Sports Man Cave's Facebook page a couple weeks ago about a Browns fan standing outside of Browns Stadium just venting about how bad his team sucks. I don't know if I sent it to you or not.
Well, how can they be any worse than the Redskins? I mean, they're two literally teams that are mirror images.
That's why I posted it, really, is because the video hit home.
If you were a Browns fan too, how bad you'd feel every morning waking up and looking at those stats.
I wake up every morning on Sunday with no hope.
Well, just remember this. The Cleveland Browns moved and went to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Cleveland fans that are my age and even younger.
How'd that work out, Baltimore?
Well, they won a Super Bowl. But here's the deal. The deal is that they moved to Baltimore, and a lot of Cleveland Browns fans think that not only did they move, the whole aura of the Cleveland Browns being a hit-you-in-the-mouth a very physical team went with Baltimore.
Well, the Ravens, that's what they are now.
Baltimore's been a physical team since day one, and you got to understand something. These guys originally came from the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Cleveland ended up getting basically they had a draft where they got to take two players per round. You know, it was an expansion draft. And Cleveland ended up getting a pretty good team almost right off the bat. I had a good friend that was a long snapper, Ryan Keel. Did a great job there. He was also – he played for the Redskins from time to time. But I got to tell you something. I'm taking the under on this game, and I'm just not going to talk about it anymore because they don't deserve the talk. Let's go to the next
Detroit Lions, -7 over the Carolina Panthers. The over-under here is 47.
You know what? This game – could have meant a lot more first game of the season. Carolina is wearing down. Cam Newton got sacked 5 times last week. They're not running the football all that well, and their defense is doing nothing. Detroit's going the wrong direction, too.
Yeah.
We were real high on them. I'm still pretty high on them. They've got Megatron. They don't really have a running game, per se, but they've got a good short passing game. They've got a good tight end. They've got 3 good receivers. Detroit's going to win this game. Do I want to give 7 points or not?
No.
I'm not giving 7 points because they haven't proven that dome is that big of an advantage because they've been beat there twice.
They're 2-2 at home, which is not impressive. Now, the Carolina Panthers, who pretty much suck, although they do put up some points, are 0-3 on the road. So, like you said, there's not much of that advantage here at home.
I mean, I'd love to take Detroit here. I just can't.
I'm not.
I just can't do it. I mean, you know, because I'm not sure what's going to go on. Now, if you've got...
I'm on Carolina. It's not. I don't think Carolina...
You're taking the points?
Exactly.
Well, they just got the crap kicked out of them at home last weekend.
But Matthew Stafford...
Tennessee.
Matthew Stafford's in a glove. And he's got a hurt finger. He's banged up.
You know
There's
what?
No running game. Yeah. And the only guy they got on offense who scares me is Megatron.
Beat reporters were throwing this stuff out all week how he's never looked better. They had a great day. You know what? If you got a broken finger and you're wearing a glove, I don't want to hear it.
One little hitting your finger on the back of your lineman's helmet and you're done.
Now, the good news is they don't have to worry about weather in a dome
because
that finger's not going to get super cold or anything and stiffen up. But let's go to the next game. I'm passing on both of these.
Next up, we have the Green Bay Packers -14 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The over-under here is 49.
All right. Well, you know, you can call me a front runner if you want, but Green Bay's been bitty, bitty good to me.
They're so good.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, there's no reason. Now, this is a 1 o'clock game. Green Bay's not usually getting up this early in the day. They've played so many games where, you know, they're on at night. Where they're a highlighted game. They've got the Tampa Bay Bucs who, for the most part, even their coach came out this week and said they're playing horrible. He's usually a really kind of, you know, glasses half full kind of guy. I really like Coach Morris. I mean, he's a good coach, but this team is not that good. Their only playmaker, Roy, is their quarterback.
Yeah.
He's
a good young quarterback.
He'd be a great tight end. Yeah. He'd be a great wide receiver. He's a good runner when he turns it loose. They do have the big running back back. He's about 80-90%. You know, he's a good kid, the kid from Oregon.
Yeah, LeGarrette Blount.
He's back, but I think Green Bay, how do you outscore? They're averaging 35 points a game.
The thing that scares me in this game is the points. You're minus 14, but I feel like I say that every week. I look at a Green Bay matchup and I say, 14 points, you got to be kidding me. And then they blow the team out and I sit there open mouth. I had Minnesota last week, so I don't know what to think about this Packers
team.
Well,
can I be honest with you?
It was a stupid play.
I didn't, right?
But well, now in hindsight, I know it was a stupid play, but right. 14 points against a team that they had played so close a couple weeks ago. Now I'm never going against the Packers ever again.
There are certain teams in college and in the pros that you can pretty much figure that if they're a double digit favorite, they're going to cruise. Green Bay is not one of them. You know, Aaron Rodgers is playing like a guy that sat for 4 years watching Brett Favre be quarterback. He's pissed. He's still pissed. He's not going to be happy till he has more Super Bowls than Brett Favre, and that could be this year. Didn't Brett only win one?
Yeah, he got one.
He got one. Well, I got news for you. This kid's going to have two in the middle of February.
Brett Favre also had three consecutive MVP awards.
Yeah, who cares? You know, now you sound like North Turner. Let's talk about the stats. Let's talk about this. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from Brett Favre, but at his best, I still want Aaron Rodgers. This guy can do more with his feet than Brett could. He can do more with his arm than Brett could. And Brett's a great guy, very, very popular guy, not as popular as he would have been if he had just retired and stayed retired, because he pissed a lot of older people off like me and a lot of people with the Green Bay organization who I know he got upset. He probably got a lot of people upset in Minnesota. I know he got somebody upset in New York Jets because he got in a little bit of trouble. But I got to tell you something. Aaron Rodgers is better than Brett Favre in every way. Mm. And this kid is just going to keep on going. I'm taking Green Bay today, people. I love the fact that they're going to be able to move the football against Tampa Bay. Their best defensive back is 37 years old, Rondy Barber. He can't cover like he used to. Green Bay, when they spread everybody out, it's unless you get to Rodgers. And last week, do you remember the Minnesota game?
Of course.
How many sacks did the Minnesota defensive end get, Jared Allen? He got like three or four, but it didn't matter. He just came back on second and 18 and threw a 22-yard completion. This guy is the real deal.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
Yeah, I like the over here, too.
He hits windows that don't exist.
You know what? If Tampa is going to do what you're scared of, which is score enough points to backdoor, mm-hmm. which is what I call it, a backdoor, right. I'm going to take the over as a hedge. I'm taking the over as a hedge for three or four stars, but I'm taking the pack because I think they're going to win this game 41-21. I don't think it's going to be close to 14. I think it's going to be 20 or more. And I love the Packers, and they will be in the Super Bowl this year. Let's go to the next game.
Next up, we have the Minnesota Vikings -1 up against the Oakland Raiders. The over-under here is 45.5.
You know, this is going to be a good game, even though Minnesota's 2-7. You and I both like their quarterback.
Yeah.
Christian Ponder's fun to watch. You know, if you're a Florida State alum, and God knows there's millions of them because I see their bumper stickers everywhere, you know, this kid can play. And, I mean, the thing I like about him is he's athletic. I like the way he stretches on the stretch play. I mean, he's got extremely good feet for a quarterback. He doesn't get sacked very often either. I mean, he's hard to catch. He's like Fran Tarkenton, only he's two of Fran Tarkenton. You know, Carson Palmer, that was a big, you know, to do when, you know, he came from Cincinnati and all that.
That was a stretch.
But you know what they're saying about him? Now they did have a week off, right?
Oh.
Let me tell you, everything I hear is that he's really fallen into getting very familiar with his receivers and so forth. This is going to be one hell of a game. Minnesota is a 1-point favorite because it's in the dome. You know what I like in this game, Roy? I like scoring. I'm going to take the over. It's only 45 or 45.5 points, depending on where you get the number, in Vegas at least. I love the over here because I think the loser here might score 30.
Yeah.
I just do. First of all, Oakland, with their beat-up, you know, defense, they've got two or three guys out on defense. AP is going to be able to get some yardage.
It's going to be the AP show all day.
They're going to stretch the field with him. They're going to throw him the ball out of the backfield. They're going to hit their receivers. You know, they've got this kid Shanko. The more I see of Shanko, the more I like this tight end.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't act like a tight end. He runs like a wide receiver.
He's great.
And he's like 240 pounds. He's a big kid. You know, I see this game going over 45.5 points. I'm going to take it for 3 to 4 stars. You know, if you used your money and gave it to me to play for you on who I like this game, I'd hand you your money back. Let's go to the next game.
Next up, we have the St. Louis Rams, -3 against the Seattle Seahawks. The over-under here is 39.
Oh, another great game. Hey, the NFL, they got some things to work on this week. One thing they got to work on is getting us games like they gave us last week every week. See, that's the Roselle rule. If everybody's 500, everybody would be in it. But everybody's not 500. This game, I don't know. You know, let me ask you this, Roy. Mm-hmm. If you were going to be a player right now, yep, which team would you want to play for? St. Louis with Bradford as your QB that's going to be around for 10 more years, or Seattle, who you're not sure who your QB is, who's going to be around for maybe 2 more games?
I'd play for the Rams.
You know what? I think I would too.
I like the coach in Seattle, though.
Well, didn't the Rams win a Super Bowl? Yes.
Yeah.
They won a Super Bowl. They've got some history there. They've got a good
team. And you don't have to put up with Seattle weather.
No, so. You know, what is with that Seattle weather?
It's crap.
It's like the Redskins or the Browns. Crap.
It's poo-poo.
Crap. St. Louis today is -3. The total is 39. This is a perfect game to pray, I mind you, because it is Sunday, that nobody gets in the red zone. Take the under for 3 stars and smile. Let's go to the next game.
Next up here, we have San Francisco 49ers, -10 against the Arizona Cardinals. Over-under here is 39.
God, I love San Francisco, and what a great game with the New York Giants. Listen, the Giants almost pulled that game out.
I don't know what to think of the
49ers. Did you have the Giants last week? Oh, yeah, you did, because yeah. I've got you talked into the Road Warrior mentality, but you know who I had, right? San Francisco. And it was a good value, because the Giants are a good road team. Those two teams will be in the playoffs, and they may even play again. Now, fortunately for the Giants, the game won't be in the Meadowlands. It'll be in San Francisco, where they played a pretty damn good game.
You're saying in the playoffs.
What is it about the Giants that make them so good on the road? I mean, I can't figure it out. Maybe they're the kind of guys that, you know, when you're in a place like New York, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of media. I mean, you know, you and I both love the Daily News. We love all the sports, but see, we don't get that around here. I'm in D.C. in Northern Virginia. Roy's in Baltimore. Sun paper's okay compared to the Post. Yeah. The Sun is a Pulitzer Prize winner.
I guess. So.
I mean,
I get them both. I get.
Hey,
the Post
not
and
only
I get
does our team in D.C. suck, our football team, but so does our newspaper, the Washington Post. Now they do have 4 or 5 very good writers, but you know, even on Sunday now, it's like 8 pages long. You go to the Daily News, you got like 20, 30 pages of sports. Hell, you got 8 pages of racing alone. You know, I miss that. But I tell you, let's talk about the game. San Francisco over Arizona. This is a sucker trap to me. Arizona has won how many games in a row? 2. They won their first game, lost 7 in a row.
And they beat Philly last week.
Right. And they beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And, I mean, it wasn't like they barely beat them.
No, they put a whoop on
them. They punished them. And they got a new quarterback, a guy named John Skelton. There's a beat reporter out named Jess Root, who's a really nice guy. You know, we tweet back and forth. We kind of email back and forth. The great thing about being in my business and having a radio show talking about football is I get to know all these guys. You know, the nice thing about Twitter, and by the way, my Twitter account is at Bruce Hall Sports. Please follow me, because I'm the retweet king of Twitter. I've sent out like 5,000, 6,000 tweets since I got my Twitter account a month or so ago. Roy, what's your Twitter account?
I'm at SportsManCave.
But don't ask Roy about games, because lately Roy's been missing some games.
Hey, I'm pretty good on the season.
He's doing good. You can go to his website and find out. But let's talk about this for a second. I'm going to pass on it. And the reason I am is Gore's going to play, but he's about 80%. You know what I like about Frank Gore? You know, he's like Clinton Portis, only he plays. Remember Clinton Portis?
Yeah.
You know how bad Clinton Portis ended up being? Nobody even signed him this year. If he was any good at all last year, he'd have hooked up with somebody by now, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, Clinton Portis was the workhorse of the Washington
Redskins.
Yeah,
for 2 years.
Well, he brought him to a couple playoffs. I mean, when the Redskins first got him, he took the Redskins to the playoffs, and he was getting.
I thought our defense took us to the playoffs. No, we did because I sat in Tampa watching a ball game where neither team got 100 yards total offense, and we won because of Sean Taylor and LeVar Arrington.
Clint Portis is a workhorse, and Frank Gore is a workhorse. I love Frank Gore.
I do, too. You know what? He's from the U, but I still like him. I don't like those U guys that much. I'd rather have the Florida State guys if I'm down there. I'm going to pass on this game. The total's 40.5. Jim Harbaugh, man, I would say coach of the year, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Hands down.
Absolutely.
Coach of the year in the NFC, for sure. You know, the...
If Denver wins their division, do you give Coach of the Year to Fox?
No, he's terrible. He's terrible. No, I give Coach of the Year to Tim Tebow.
To
Are you
Tim
kidding?
Tebow?
Let's go to the next daggone game.
Next up, we have the Chicago Bears -3.5 against your San Diego Chargers.
You know, this is one of my favorite games right here. I love this game.
The over-under here is 45.
I'm excited because I've been like falling asleep here because the games have sucked today. God, St. Louis, Seattle, Miami, Buffalo. You know, I mean, these aren't good. What was the game with Jacksonville? Who are they playing? Cleveland? Are they going to have announcers? They might be better off just leaving the announcers off. They're having no sound. Let the people watch. You remember when they did that several years ago to see how it worked out?
That was actually the birth of a lot of the things that we see now in the games where they have those big bubble sound pickup guys or anything like that. So it actually helped the game a lot from a spectator's point of view, but it was brutal with the announcers.
Yeah, you know what I like about the fact that, you know what I like about football now, if I'm home watching it on TV, I got a mute button.
Yeah.
I don't have to listen to that crap. I don't need somebody to do the color and the play-by-play. I do it anyway. You've been to a game with me.
See, I'm the exact...
Everybody within 10 rows of me knows exactly what's going to happen, exactly what's happening next play. I'm glad I'm not going to the Cowboy Red. I gave Roy my tickets, by the way. Roy's got my parking pass too. Listen, you know what? Chicago, let's talk about the Bears.
Are you finally on the Chicago train?
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
And you know
I've
what?
I've sat here for 3 weeks now.
I know, but they were so bad then. But you know what? You must have known somehow that
defense.
They were just going to get better.
Brian Urlacher.
You know
is a
what?
Beast.
It's the healthiest he's been in years. He's got great guys around him.
This guy has vision.
Julius Peppers is
he's good.
He's
too.
Up and down because of his nicks and injuries. But you know what I like about Julius? When he's in there, he makes plays. Hey, even though he went to the University of North Carolina, and I hate that color of blue, and I hate UNC because I'm an East Carolina Pirate. Go Parrots! The thing that I like the most about that team is they're playing well on defense. And guess what? You know, Mike Tice has taken that offensive line and turned them into winners. They didn't give up a sack last week.
I think they have something like 4 sacks in the last 3 weeks or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And they had 10 in one game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there was a time then, didn't it look like early in the season, Cutler was just going to quit? He was just going to drop his helmet and walk to the locker room.
He almost cried after that one game.
Well, you know, he's a very emotional guy. He's got baggage. You know, I mean, you know, but you know what I like about Cutler? He can throw the ball behind his back 50 yards in a spiral. Yeah. He's like Sonny Jurgensen.
He's got a cannon.
Yeah, I like the guy. I really, really, really like Chicago in this game. You know, they're only a 3.5-point favorite over a San Diego team. Hey, you know
how much do you love San Diego?
Hey, for those of you that listen to us every week, I don't even have to tell you how bad they suck.
They're poo-poo.
I mean, they're so bad. And even if they had people, I'd still take Chicago. If San Diego had all of their guys healthy right now in Chicago, -3.5, I'm still taking Chicago.
They've given up. I told you about the we were watching the game, and Vincent Jackson gave
up. He didn't even try for the ball.
He gave up on
a deep
ball.
Well, you know, he had to answer that question Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday because I read the San Diego beat reporter stuff. Let me tell you something. You think that the people in New York and D.C. and Baltimore are tough on their players? I'm going to tell you something, man. San Diego, they were all over that guy because he just quit.
Well, that was pathetic.
How do you not break up the pass?
Well, if that had happened in New York, the guy would be
cut.
Cut. He's done.
He would be cut.
Because,
he'd be gone.
Because the media in New York would be asking him the question every single day for the rest of his
life. You know, if that had been Plaxico, if that had been Plaxico.
He would have cried and quit.
If that had been Plaxico with a pair of sweatpants on and a 45 in there, he probably would have caught that ball. He'd have come back and either broken it up or caught it.
I mean, that was pathetic.
You know what that comes down to? Motivation. You know what that comes down to? Coaching. If you're not willing to sell out for your coach, you don't care about your coach. And unfortunately, a lot of their players probably feel the same way about North Turner that I do. Why is this guy coaching us? Why are we 4-5 in the worst division in football? You know, Tim Tebow and the Broncos are going to kick their butt. And they're going to win the West. And you know what?
I believe so, too.
He's the kind of guy. They may run it 70 times in the playoffs and win.
They're going to win. They're going to beat the Ravens.
Hey, guess what? Rivers has 19 turnovers this season. He's thrown 15 picks. We're taking Chicago minus the points for 5. That's as much as I can take. 5 stars. Let's go to the next game.
Next up, we have the New York G-Men.
I love the G-Men.
-5.5 over the Philadelphia Eagles.
You know what? Y'all might think I'm crazy. You might think I'm crazy. I love Tom Coughlin. I'd play for Tom Coughlin if I was 80 years old. When they won 2 weeks ago, they had a film of him being thrown up in the air by all of his players in the locker room after that big win. And I got to tell you something, man. I have never seen a guy have more fun than that in my life. I was afraid they were going to drop him and hurt him, but they didn't. They took good care of the old man. I love Tom Coughlin. I think that this game, we talked about this. This is the biggest game of the day. If you're an NFC East person, Philly has to win. There isn't going to be a tie here. Ties are like once every 8 years, okay? It's not going to be a tie.
And it only happens at RFK Stadium between the Giants and Redskins.
Now, Bradshaw's out again. He's not playing today, but hey, I got all over Brandon Jacobs, and look what he did. He found out that I said some bad things about it.
Jacobs.
He called me. I'm just kidding. He called me and threatened me. No, I'm just kidding. I like Brandon if he just runs hard like he has the last 2 weeks. I like Brandon Jacobs. I like the Giants. I like Eli Manning. Hey, all Eli had to do to become the best quarterback in the league was what? Well,
his brother had to
go on the DL. His brother had to go on injury list.
Now, this is at home, though.
Where the Giants. Yeah, don't play that well always. But I got to tell you something.
They are 3-1, though.
Yeah, but you know what? There'll be enough Philadelphia Eagle fans there to make them feel like they're on the road anyway.
If the Eagles fans still exist, mind you.
No. Well, you know, you're right. You know, for 3 weeks, we thought it was over, right? And then for 3 weeks, we thought that they were the best team around. And now for another 3 weeks,
they're going to want
Andy's job again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like the weather. If you don't like it, just wait a day. It'll change. You know, the thing about Philadelphia is they got a guy named LeSean McCoy from Pitt, University of Pittsburgh. This guy is a monster. He gets better all the time. He's one of the strongest guys I've ever seen with a small body. And I say small, 215 is not small. But this guy runs like he's 250. He runs like Steven Jackson. When Steven Jackson with the Rams runs, he looks like a freaking nose tackle running. He's so big. A nose tackle with a really good body, which you don't see, which you don't see very often. But I got to tell you, the Giants, they're going to score some points here. Mm-hmm. You know, If Mike Vick starts,
he's not going to play.
Are you sure?
I'm not 100%.
No, it's a game time decision. Let me tell you, we may not know for another 45 minutes because a lot of times he's late. He may still be out there warming up almost when I get home.
He didn't practice all week.
No.
It's just ribs that have been lingering.
Yeah, but come on, Vince Young, he has no chance.
Vince Young is 0-for-1 with a pick this year.
Yeah, but Vince Young has no chance. He doesn't know the offense. It's not an easy offense.
No.
Wasn't an easy offense for Vic to learn. The problem, if you start Mike Vic with that $100 million contract and he gets hurt worse, now you're looking at next year maybe. Maybe you got to sit him and just pray, you know? Pray. Now, you know, but the Giants, they're going to be ready for him. If the Giants go to 7-3 here, they are in the driver's seat in the NFC East.
I think they are regardless.
Now, I've made the statement, Roy, and you've made the statement. We both made the statement. this reminds us of the Giants team that went to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They're going to be on the road, which they love, all during the playoffs. They're not going to host a game. It's just not going to happen. If they win the East, they win it with 9-7, 10-6 record. The Cowboys should destroy the Redskins. We're going to get into that game next. But I got to tell you, the Giants are my favorite team right now in the NFC East. And they are because they're just getting it done. You know, they figured out if they put pressure on the quarterback and make the offense just handle all those blitz schemes and packages and twists up front, they take away the offense from the team they're playing. The Eagles need Mike Vick when they play the New York Giants. They don't have him today. And if they do, what is he, 70%? Mm-hmm. He's got two broken ribs. Doesn't he have a bad hand, too? Somebody stepped on his hand?
Well, that was earlier in the season, but yeah. I mean, he's been banged up all year. But he's really their only – I mean, do you really want to rely on Vince Young? I mean, you guys are – and the Eagles are already lingering – you know, this is make or break for them.
No, and absolutely. This is their season.
We say that every week.
Hey,
if they win,
still only 4-6. But my point is, if they lose, it's over.
It's done.
Oh, it is. They're not going to win 6 games in a row.
No.
7 games. It's not going to happen. You know what? We're going to pass on the game. We're going to watch it. At least I am. If you had to take a team, wouldn't you take the Giants -5.5?
Definitely.
I would, too. Because if Vince Young starts, by the way, you're listening to Bruce Hall. And this is Bruce Hall's second opinion. Go to my website, brucehallsports.com. Pull up the blog. Check it out. You can send me a tweet at Bruce Hall Sports. Anytime you want, I'll answer your questions for you. I'm going to take the over, Roy, and I'll tell you why. It's going to be some points scored here. And the weather's not terrible in New York right now. The wind isn't blowing as hard as they might have thought it was going to be. Personally, I'm gonna take the over. It's 45.5. I think the winner of this game scores 31 to 34 points. And if the Eagles are going to be close, and look, if it was me, I'd still take the Eagles, and I'll tell you why. These teams win at each other's places all the time.
Yeah, this is a rivalry.
The Eagles suck at home, too. I think the Eagles suck at home worse than the Giants generally aren't that good at home. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to take the over here. Let's go to the next game.
Next up, we have the New England Patriots -15 over the Kansas City Chiefs. The over-under here is 46.5.
Now, this is the Monday night game. I'm going to spend about 2 or 3 minutes on this. Then we're going to go to the game. You're going to be hearing on WFAS after our game. It's going to be the Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys on WFAS 12:30 a.m. And I'm going to tell you, and we're going to talk about that game last because we got some good stuff to talk about. I'm taking New England, period. Tom Brady versus, you know, Matt Castle, who actually...
He's hurt.
He's hurt. He's not going to start.
He's not playing.
No, Palko's not starting either. It's the other guy. They're going to be starting a number three guy in Kansas City. Let me tell you, now they haven't really made the decision. They haven't really made the decision on which of the two is going to start because they don't have to activate... Or you know how you do it with they don't have to activate the backup. They're probably in the process of bringing somebody up too. But I think that it's Monday night. It's Tom Brady, and you know what? The Pats look good against the Jets. I was on the Jets last week. You know, I'm sorry for those of you that follow me. You know, generally speaking, in the Meadowlands against New England, a team that's struggled at times, doesn't really stop anybody. Boy, did the Patriots look good. And I should have known better. I literally, that would have been the third loss in a row, Roy. And I should have known, you know, Belichick isn't going to lose 3 in a row.
No.
He's not going to lose 3 in a row with a team that he can win 11 or 12 games with. We're going to take New England. There's no tougher place to play than Foxborough. They won 19 in a row before they lost a game there.
And Tom Brady loves playing at home. He is... Until this season, he was unstoppable at home, and now you're putting him against a banged-up Chiefs team who, like you said, the depth chart has Tyler Palko starting, but they don't know. They don't know who they're starting, and they're banged up. They're without their best running back. Thomas Jones is listed on their depth chart as their starter at running back. The Chiefs are a mess right now.
You know, Welker has already got to the 1,000-yard mark.
He's
been hurt. Wes Welker from Texas Tech, great little slot receiver. They put him everywhere. But how about this kid Gronkowski? What a monster.
Yeah.
He moves like a wide receiver. He's got the body of a big tight end, and he can run. This guy's caught, you know, he's caught 52 passes for 709 yards already this season. And you know what? I think they get Law Firm back. He's 100% this week. They're going to be pretty healthy. I looked at their injury report for a Belichick team. It was a pretty skinny little injury report. I mean, there aren't a lot of guys. There's hardly any doubtfuls. And you know what else I like about Monday night with New England? We get to see Brady. How many times? Maybe 200 times, 200 shots of Brady. You know, the girls will be going crazy.
We can see his new haircut.
Yeah. Kansas City does have a couple of running backs we like. Tell you what, let's do this. Let's go to the game. The featured game is going to be on 12:30 a.m. WFAS. When we get off, I'm sure they're probably going to have a pregame show. Let's go to the next game.
The next game is the Dallas Cowboys -7 over the Washington Redskins. The over-under here is 41.5.
What a difference a few weeks makes. You know, we went into Dallas, I think, with a 2-0 or 3-0 record. You remember that?
Yeah.
And we should have won that game in Dallas. They looked horrible. Tony Romo was banged up. Remember, he had the bad ribs?
Yeah.
Wasn't going to play. They had a bunch of guys out, and they held on to beat us 18-16. Now, the Cowboys look like they've worked out their problems. They look good on offense. They still have Tony Romo, but I got to tell you, compared to what we have in Washington, and I say we because, yeah, I'm going to be a Skins fan my whole life, unfortunately, but I got to tell you something. Compared to Tony Romo, we've got nothing. I mean nothing. We don't have a good start. We got a number two and a number three. Beck might not even be a number three. You know, Rexy's going to be a two forever.
John Beck is doo-doo.
Yeah, he's terrible.
He's absolute
30-year-old rookie that can't play.
He's terrible.
Yeah, but a nice guy.
I'm sure he's a good guy.
But let me just tell you something.
Jason Campbell is a good guy, too.
Now, Roy, you think that the Redskins are not going to win another game all year, correct?
I don't think they're going to win another game.
Now, I want you guys to remember this because this is very important.
I think the Redskins are going to get the number two pick in the draft.
Roy thinks that the Redskins are going to go 3-13. Unfortunately for Roy, that won't get him the number two pick. But
I think so.
No, it won't. We don't have enough time to break it down yet. But I got to tell you something. I got him going 4-12. That puts him like 6 or 7 in the draft pick, or maybe 5 or 6. They should be able to get a pretty good quarterback with that pick, don't you think? Yeah. I want the kid from Baylor now. I just want the kid from Baylor.
You want RG3?
Yes, I do. I want that kid. You know, unless Luck's still available. Maybe Luck will get caught smoking dope or something, and, you know, you never know. I mean, his dad is assistant athletic director at West Virginia.
Yeah, he is.
And Randy Moss went to Marshall, which is in West Virginia, so I'm sure there might be some marijuana up there.
Maybe.
Now, let me tell you,
this
kid's a Stanford kid. He's a straight-A student. He's going to be drafted by the Indianapolis Colts with the first pick in the draft. And, you know, Roy seems to think they're going to trade Peyton Manning. I don't. I think they keep Peyton there. He retires in Indianapolis Colts.
I don't think so.
That's going to happen. You know what? You are just, for a young kid, you're very outspoken, but you're also stupid. No, I'm just kidding. I love Roy. And by the way, you need to be tweeting me at the game today. Listen, Redskins game, bottom line, started out -8. It's -7. I kind of like the over here a little bit. The weather's nice outside.
Yeah, it is nice.
It could go over. The total on this game, it's not a terrible total. What's total, Roy?
The total here is 41.5.
You know, I'm taking the over for 3 stars just in case the Redskins backdoor. I'm taking the Cowboys.
Me too.
Too much offense. Too much defensive pass rush. DeMarcus Ware will have 3 or 4 sacks.
At least.
Rex Grossman is not a moving target.
No.
He's going to be where he is. Oh, and we also found this out. Rex Grossman and Tony Stewart separated at birth. They're twins. They are. They're twins, Roy. Tony's probably 40. You know, Rexy's 32. Tony looks younger than Rex. Of course, he hasn't been hit as many times as Rex has.
Tony Stewart.
All right, listen. Well,
he's going today at 1 o'clock, too, for his second Sprint Cup championship.
All right, we gotta go. We got to go watch some football. This is Bruce Hall saying so long. Say goodbye, Roy.
Y'all take care now.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll see you next week.